words of hunger, meditations of hearing and understanding of those present with acceptable sight and from men.
Well, a while ago we were talking about who Jesus said he was, and if you can remember a couple weeks ago when I started this, I wanted to spend some time talking about who Jesus says we are. Last time I was here, I talked about the fact that Jesus said that we are children of God. We are adopted as children of God. And today we're going to look at the statement that Jesus said that we are his friends. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, starting at verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends. You do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. So Jesus said that we were his friends. And I think that's really quite a statement. If you look at your life and you look at the people that you have in your life that you consider friends, close friends, think about those people for you. They're the people who would help you move if you needed help moving. They're the people who are there for you when you need them, whatever that help might be. Whether it's just someone to have a cup of coffee or tea with, or to sit and talk to share a meal with, play some cards. These are your friends. And Jesus says here that he calls us friends. And he really qualifies it quite a bit. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I recently heard a story about a man. You may have heard about him. His name is Brennan Manning. He's a priest, author, lecturer. He wrote a little book called The Ragamuffin Gospel, which you may have heard of. I think that's the best selling of it. He grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and his best friend growing up was a boy named Raymond. They were the same age, so they lived in the same neighborhood. They went to school together. They went to church together. And growing up, they were just the best friends. When they became young men, they got together and pulled their resources and purchased a car, which they shared between the two of them. Which, if you've seen any situation comedies, you know that's a recipe for disaster. But it worked out for them. They double dated together. And when they graduated high school together, they both joined the army together. They went through boot camp together. And they managed to wind up in the same platoon, in the same squad, serving in the front lines in the Korean. Well, one day as they were sitting in their foxhole too close to the front line, having some chocolate, a hand grenade rolled into the foxhole. Brennan and Raymond looked at each other, and without a moment's hesitation, Raymond laid down on top of the hand grenade and took the full force of the explosion. Well, before the war came to an end, and as Brennan was on his way home, he vowed that he would take care of Raymond's mother. His own parents were deceased now, and her husband had been deceased, and now her only son. So he would, whenever he had time, he would go and visit her. She had moved to Chicago from New York and was living there. And one day, as Raymond was traveling across the country, he had a layover in Chicago for a while, and he decided to go and visit her. And she was, of course, very happy to see him, and she fixed him dinner, and they had dinner, and they were sitting having some coffee afterwards, just talking about things. Brennan said to her, Ma, do you think Raymond loved me? She said, of course he did. Why do you ask a foolish question? And he said to her, no, really. Do you think Raymond loved me? And the sweet woman suddenly got very cross with him. And she said to him, Jesus Christ, man, what more could he have done? We ask the same question sometimes. We look up and we say, God, do you love me? Well, what more could he have? John 3:16, we know it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have. Greater love has no man than that he should lay his life down for his friends, which is exactly what Jesus did. He laid his life for us, and he called us friends, not servants. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master. It's that I have called you friends, for everything that I learned, Father, I have made known you. It's all here. The things God has revealed to us are the things that he revealed to Jesus, and they're really all the things we need to know. There are churches out there, there are preachers out there who will tell you that they have special knowledge, that there are special things that they know, special secrets that God keeps from the rest of us. I don't know if you ever heard of the Church of Scientology. It's a church that claims to have this special secret information. And they're willing to share this secret information with you that's the only way to salvation for a low, low cost of $147,000. How much they sell salvation for? That's how much they sell their secrets for. And just so you know, it has something to do with flying saucers. I didn't pay for it. Believe me, I didn't pay for it. Because my salvation has all of ours. By our friend gave his life on the cross for us. Love one another just as I have. Not that he's asking us to lay our, specifically expecting us to lay down our lives for one another. But there is something that's expected, that we love one another. Because as he is our friend and he is your friend, does that not make us friends by association? What's the saying? Any friend of yours is a friend of mine. And can we not expect, are we not expected to live our lives that way? Our command is this, love each other as I have loved. In verse 17, this, love each other. Not long ago, I was at a service where we're doing a foot. You know, that's something that we don't do a whole lot of in the church today. We're not going to do worse. But I was talking to him and I said, he was kind of, the priest who was leading the service had asked me, what are your opinions on foot washing? And I said, well, personally, I think it's sort of a forgotten sacrament. Because it's one of those things Jesus told us to do. You know, just as we have communion, it's one of the things that Jesus taught us to do when washing ice cream will not be having communion. It's one of those things he told us to do. And likewise with foot washing, it's one of those things he told us to do. And he kind of shook his head a little bit and he said, well, you know, he also told us to love one another. We don't do a very good job. We told again we fail. Just as I failed to bring bread. We fail to love one. We look the other way when it's convenient. We don't have time sometimes for our friends. Imagine yourself in prayer one day, seeking whatever it is you might be praying for, seeking whatever it is that is weighing down on your heart, and hearing God say, I'll get back to that. Loving him, even as he's, my command is this, love each other. You are my friends if you do as I kind of wish. We expect this friendship, and this is the command. This is the command he's talking about, love each other. And that's what makes us his friends. That we love each other. We have friendships like that sometimes too, don't we? We like to be in charge. I don't think that's exactly the kind of thing that's going on here, but I know, watching my daughter grow up, there's a time, do you ever notice there's a time with kids, like when they're 4 or 5 years old, everybody's friends. Isn't that great? You put a bunch of kids from any neighborhood in a playground and they're friends. There was a documentary done years ago on the BBC. The TV show was called Seven Up. They took a bunch of 7-year-olds from all different racial and ethnic backgrounds, all different economic backgrounds, and they put them together on a playground and just let them play for a day. And the kids all had fun. They didn't care whose dad was rich and whose dad was poor. They didn't care which kid was black and which kid white. None of that mattered. For that day, they were all friends, and they had along. Sure, there was a squabble now and then, but you know what? 5 minutes later, they forgot about it. 7 years later, they brought the same kids back together. They did another show called 14 Up, where they put the same kids together and let them interact. And boy, could you tell the difference. I noticed the same thing with my daughter growing up. But, you know, as a little kid, I thought it was just fantastic. Everybody was friends. And then there's some point, probably around, I think it started probably around 7 or 8 years old, where kids start noticing differences in one another. And every once in a while, Ruby would come home and say, so-and-so doesn't want to be my friend. And she's brokenhearted. So-and-so doesn't want to be friends. And it just gets harder. 7 years later, they did another documentary where they took the same, now, young men and women. And you know, they all remembered one another from when they were 7. They all remembered that day on the playground together. They didn't want anything to do with they were grown. It mattered who had money. It mattered what neighborhood they came from. I don't think they were able to bring all the kids together because I think one of them was in prison. But 7 years later, when they did 28 up, he was out. Anything to do with him. God tells us to come to him as little children. And I think even in this case, we need to do that. Like children, we need to be willing to love anyone, to love everyone, to be friends with everyone. Love one another. You think God loves you? Do you think your friend Jesus loves you? What the Lord
can live in your sanctuary, oh Lord, who can walk on your.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
a benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for today is friend. Maybe when you saw the bulletin and you saw the message titled, I am a friend of Jesus, you were expecting sunshine and rainbows and puppies and ponies and whatnot. But I hope you come from this blessed, knowing not only that Jesus is our friend, that we are his friend, but we can live as friends with one another, and he wants us to. He expects us to. It's not going to be easy. We all know somebody, don't we, that can brighten a room by leaving it. Love that person. Be their friend. They need friends just the same as you do, just as any of us does. What more could he have done for us? What more could you do for those around you? This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place, friends. Be blessed. Amen.